Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hello, I'm Susan Violante. I'm your host for today. I'm really excited to be speaking on the phone with Carol Roman, author of If You Were Me and Lived in Kenya, which is the most recent of her 8-House Introduction to Cultures Around the World series. It is a very basic introduction to Kenya. This book touches on 10 items that any child can identify with and get an overall feel for another culture. It is great for early readers. I'm actually a personal Carol Roman books fan because I have seen all of them and loved them, and I can hardly wait to welcome her. But before we start, let's learn a little bit more about Carol. Carol P. Roman, award-winning author, is also a former teacher turned businesswoman. She has successfully run a family business with her husband, and her first book, Captain No Beard, An Imaginary Tale of a Pirate's Life, keeps winning awards, as we just heard about its fourth winning today. Her series, If You Were Me and Lived In, is on the same path with the Mexico book, winning the Pinnacle Award for 2013 Best in Children's Nonfiction. But her favorite job is being a grandmother to her many grandchildren. Carol currently lives on Long Island with her husband. For more information on Carol and her books, visit her website at www.carolroman.com, and that is CarolePRoman.com. Hi, Carol. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. You are one of our favorites, I must say, because all of our reviewers and reader reviews have a blast with your books, especially the last one that came about, which is one of your If You Were Me series, and we're talking specifically about the Kenya one. So Zoe was elated with it. She took it to school. The teacher created a project about it, and it was awesome, awesome, awesome to see the enthusiasm of this little girl.
Thank you so much. It was awesome on this end, too, hearing about it that had that desired effect.
Yeah, and, you know, this doesn't happen really that often because, you know, kids will be kids and they usually use their parents, but we have a couple of them that will use also their teachers for their reviews to help them out, and your book had a blast in their classroom. She actually read it again the other day when I talked to her parent, and she told me she just read it today again in her class, so so it was awesome to see.
Thank you. I like to think that books are the gift that keep giving. Every time you read it, another layer is opened, and you get something more out of it. And that's the purpose of these books.
Yes, and it, you know, and before we start, though, because I really want to get into this series of yours, I find it very interesting because, you know, I'm multicultural myself. So we'll get to that. But let's talk about a little bit about yourself first. If you can, you know, just let our listeners know a little bit more about your background and yourself.
Well, I was born in the States, in Brooklyn, New York, and brought up here, and I became a teacher about 100 years ago. And I taught for about an hour and decided to quit to start a family. And but I was a social studies teacher. Mm-hmm. And my husband needed help running his business. He comes from another country, and he had problems with the language. So he asked me if I would stay home and help him build the business. And I said I would do it, but only if I had a child. I wanted to start my family. So we did that. And today the business employs over 500 people worldwide. It's huge. I don't want to say what it is, but it's a rather large business that became the top of its class. Mm-hmm. And my sons work there, my brother, my ex-sister-in-law. We have quite a staff. And I've been doing that, but my first love has always been teaching and writing. I read constantly, and I don't know if you know, but I started writing as a dare from my son. My son dared me to write a book, and I wrote my first book, and I came up with this series about culture based on being with my grandson, Alexander. We were walking on the strip in Las Vegas, and he was intrigued by the different hotels. and
great.
Their themes. So we started talking about the countries, and I went home that night, and I wrote the first book.
Wow, that's awesome. It is great when life puts little signs in front of your path and you catch them, you know?
Yes, it is. It's exciting.
Because I think that this type of book is awesome for kids to learn a little bit about other, you know, people that are not the same. Sometimes we get intimidated by the differences, and by exposing these differences and embracing them in a young age, you have opened so many doors for all the kids that read them.
That is so true, and that was the purpose of the books, to make it familiar. I mean, I just went on a baby registry. My cousin had a grandchild, and I went on the registry, and one of the things on the registry was baby chopsticks, and I thought it was brilliant that they're going to start teaching this child how to use chopsticks, that it's even on the registry, and they're learning chopsticks. And I think it was tremendous, because that's not my culture, and yet here this brand-new baby is going to be introduced, and it'll be natural for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so great. Also, we live in such a global society. We have so many cultures at our fingertips. You drive down a street, and you'll see 50 different restaurants. And children today, whether it's from the Travel Channel or from the Cooking Channel or even Disney,
mm-hmm.
The Disney channels, Nickelodeon, and even from their own neighborhoods, they're exposed to so many different cultures. And if we make it familiar and make them comfortable with it, tolerance will be the end result.
Tolerance, and also it brings opportunities, because when you are welcoming to everybody, you know, you have a welcoming personality, that opens tons of doors. That's what I always told to my two daughters when they were made fun for their accents, because unfortunately they imitated my accent.
Right.
And I would say, don't listen to that. They just don't know yet, you know? Because
you know what the truth was, Susan? Everybody else had the accent. Your kids didn't. That's
I should have said that to them.
That's what my husband says, because he has an accent. I don't hear it, but my father had an accent as well. My grandmother had an accent. I mean, I come from a family of immigrants, so I never heard their accents.
Yeah.
And when people would say, "Where's your father from?" I'd say, "From New York." I just didn't get it, you know.
That's funny. You know that my husband and I both share the same background, because he went to Venezuela when he was 14. But then, and I was born and raised there, but we met in Florida. So the both of us speak the three languages, right? And so
yes.
Whatever, when you listen to us speaking, it's whatever pops out. So people get confused, and we are like the entertainment of my daughter's friends. They'll come here and they'll listen to us, and we're talking the Italian with our hands and whatever, and, you know, and then Spanish words come out, and then an English word comes out, and they're just laughing and laughing seeing us. And I'm like, yeah, right, what did you get about what I said? And they're like, I don't know, but I'm glad you didn't hit each other, because the hands were flying everywhere.
But the exchange of cultures is so, it's just so wonderful. And when children learn about where it comes from, it's just fascinating. And I have only one thing to say. I'm coming to your house for Thanksgiving. With all those cultures, I bet you have a dynamite Thanksgiving with all the different foods that you, from all the different cultures.
Yeah, we try to embrace every single of our culturals. We have one tradition of each culture at least on the holidays.
That was, oddly enough, one of my lessons. When I was a teacher, I used to ask the children to bring in their menus from Thanksgiving. And that's how we would study about their culture, because every different child had a different, everybody had turkey, but maybe one kid had kimchi, and then maybe one kid had paella, and then one kid had kigel, you know, which is mm-hmm. like a noodle thing, or pierogin from Russia or Poland. And each culture always had like the American dishes or the American traditions, but they brought their own, and it was fascinating. And then we would get into the background of where their ancestors came from. And it's really a great way to introduce cultures to a classroom.
That's awesome. I remember when I first got to Florida, I went to English because I needed a refresh in order for me to be able to, you know, use English in a professional way.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had this cultural day, and there were a lot of people from Russia, and we share stories, cooking, all kinds of things, not just food. But there was this girl that read a little story, and I was fascinated. And from there, I started looking for stories there in Florida. I'm talking about maybe 23 years ago, and I couldn't find anything. I couldn't find anything. You know, the Internet was not what it is nowadays,
right.
And it was frustrating. So I really, really, really admire what you're doing with this book. Because grown-ups can read them, too.
Well,
there you go.
I think they're elastic enough that you can stretch them any way. Because the hardest part was, Susan, there was a wealth of information, and I didn't want to cheat children out of learning about beautiful things. The
mm-hmm.
more I researched, I would say, I have to include this, and, oh, I didn't know that. And there were so many things that I learned. But the problem is I geared it, because Alexander was 3 at the time, I geared it to a 3-year-old. So I tried to pare it down to the most basic form, but put it in such a venue that a teacher or a parent or an educator could then expand it and take it as big as they wanted to go, and that even upwards of 9 and 10-year-olds could, while it was simple, could read the book and take something away and then expand it like Zoe did by going to school and having a Kenyan
mm-hmm.
day, where they dressed, you know, the way they researched how Kenyan people, the people from Kenya, dressed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole idea of the book, that they're elastic enough. The early critics said, oh, they're too simple. And they're not. They're actually really intense. Each sentence is so very researched to give so many different seedlings for lesson plans.
Yeah. It's. I think it's a treasure in the coming. And I know that it is a children educational book, and I think it's perfect. But at the same time, it's so entertaining that kids have fun and grown-ups have fun reading them with them.
That was my intent. Thank you.
And I have read all of them as they come in. So, again, for our listeners, we're talking about Carol Roman's book, If You Were Me and Lived in Kenya, A Child's Introduction to Culture Around the World. I think it's a genius it is a series of genius. How do you say that in English? Of a genius creation, because it will tackle a lack of, teaching kids in early ages about our differences and how to embrace them, and that there's nothing to fear when somebody's different. So it's great. I want to ask you something that I have been, because this is the first time we really getting to talking about your projects and everything, and my curiosity is killing me. How did you get a 3-generation writer family? How did you go about building that?
We've always read. We were very big on reading. I loved reading. My grandmother read constantly. My mother read constantly, and I'm told I didn't meet my other grandmother. She passed away before I was born, but I, from what I understood, she always had a book in her hand. So we were big read. My aunt always read. And from the time I was 7, I've been reading constantly, every night, hours. I love to read. And we would devour. My mother always had a library in the house. So when I got married, I always created a library in my house so that when my kids came, we would read. And I didn't even know about young adults. I didn't know really much about children's books. We went straight away into reading, where my kids would be 8, 10, and we'd be sitting and reading Shakespeare together in our little library, and then discussing it. So both my sons embraced reading. Now, they don't like to read, oddly enough. One likes fiction, the other one likes nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
And my oldest son just started writing. He sat down and started writing. He has a degree in English, and he started writing this year. And his son, my grandson, is extraordinarily creative, and he would sit down and just make things up. And while he couldn't write them, I would write them for him, and now he's drawing. We just are working on, he wants to help me with one of these books. So he did If You Were Me and Lived in Russia, which is, he's doing Russia in his kindergarten class.
Wow.
So we just completed that book. He chose what he wanted in the book. And if you look at my Facebook You'll see a picture of his hands on the computer touching St. Basil's Church, which is what he wanted included as his image of Russia.
Oh, that's awesome. I can't tell you just how much this is going to mean to him later on in his when he gets older. We have gotten a few writers that are kids, and you know, it's amazing. We see them grow up, and they can write good books. You know, kids have the untouched imagination, and they're so eager to learn, and they're so eager to share. That you have tapped a well of imagination there for, and I can't wait to see that book.
I'm excited. He actually one Saturday wrote a book with his father called Whaley's Big Adventure, and I'm publishing it for him. Mm-hmm. Where he looked up with his father on the web different types of whales. He's fascinated with whales, and then what was we purchased pictures put in this book, and he said, no, I want to draw them. And we said, okay. And he proceeded to do these amazing watercolors, so we're reproducing the watercolors now, and I'm going to produce the book. I'll send it to you when he's done. But I am astounded by the depth of his talent and his attitude, which is he pushes forward. If he's not happy, he rips it up, he goes on, and he's just... When you embrace it, I think it's the most encouraging thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, Susan, even if it wasn't good, I'd embrace it because he's trying, and that's the biggest thing of all.
Yeah, and you know what? He's very lucky to have your support, because a lot of kids, unfortunately, don't have a support that will allow them to develop these talents.
Let me tell you how special. All of my grandchildren are special. Each one of them is wonderful. But Alexander came at a rough time when I had just lost my mother. And I was so depressed. She was my best friend. And when he was born, he reawakened my imagination. He gave me my imagination back. And for that, you know, my very first book was dedicated to him, because he dragged me out of a place where I was so sad and told me, come on, it's time to just really come back and start living again and start having fun. Mm-hmm. And that's what grandchildren are all about. And all of my grandchildren, in each way, are so delicious and reminders of why we're put here.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience, as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through Direct Podcast, as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Carol Roman, author of If You Were Me and Lived in Kenya, the most recent book of her series. Stay tuned, because we are going to continue this fun and insightful conversation with Carol about her books, her three-generational writer family, teaching children to embrace cultural differences, being relevant, and so much more. But in the meantime, you can check out her books by visiting her website at carolproman.com. And that is CAROLEPROMAN.com. Mm-hmm. And that love and... because whether it's loss or is encountering, discovering another part of love, what happened with your grandson at the right time he came and filled you with love to go through that loss, shows on your book, because Captain O'Bear, An Imaginary Tale of a Pirate's Life, which is your first book, keeps winning awards. It's amazing. It just got your fourth award this year.
Yes, I know. It's astounding. And I called him last night. I said, Alex, guess what? He said, I heard. He said, you won a prize. He said, you got first place. And it's so funny.
That's amazing. That's amazing. But that comes to show you that really the best works of art are the ones that come from a genuine place.
I agree.
And I'm, as a marketer myself and a promoter and an author, I can tell you that that's usually what it is. And that's what I tell everybody that I talk to and they ask me about writing. I tell them, put the story down and put all your heart into the story and worry about the marketing
right.
when you do the rewrites. You know,
that's exactly right. People are asking me now, how do you do it? You know, because I've been actually doing probably a book a month at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you just have to sit down and write and know that you can fix it or you can have someone help you fix it. But if you procrastinate, you'll never do it.
Mm-hmm. I want to tell our listeners to visit your website because you also have a blog and they can get to it through your website. Listeners, I really, really, really suggest you visit her website and look at all the wonderful books that she has in there. Your website is carolpromann.com, and that is CarolePromann.com. Again, www.carolpromann.com. Carol, I want to ask you something that I tell everybody before we run out of time. Before you ever started writing, I am imagining that you didn't, before that there, you didn't imagine that you were going to be a writer. So if you would go back and talk to yourself before that there, what would you tell to yourself?
I would say, I think I always wanted to be a writer, but I was afraid of what people would think if I, maybe it would be silly. And what I've learned is, don't judge yourself on what other people think and write it down. Just write it down. And I, in retrospect, I think I wasn't ready to write. I think that the experiences all led up to a huge watershed where all of a sudden it just started pouring out of me and the ideas, it made for fertile ground coming to this part of my life, which is abundance. Lastly and most importantly, when you reach a certain age in this country, a lot of times you're made to feel that you're invisible or insignificant or not relevant. Doing this in this part of my life has been a wonderful catalyst that I don't have to lay down and pretend that my life is over. I feel invigorated, experienced, treasured, and young.
Wow.
So it's been the best experience of my life.
Yeah. Well said. I agree. I think that a lot of people postpone, I guess, whether for fear, like in your case, or because it's not the right time as well, or because you're just too busy, can't find the time to do it. We just postpone what we are meant to be, you know?
I agree.
And you know, I am so happy when I find people that have found the time or the right moment to explore yourself and find that you're meant to be and develop it. It's just it doesn't give you as a individual just so many gifts. It's what that individual yourself are giving to others because your books are giving a lot. And I'll give you an example. People sometimes don't realize this. The reason I was born in Maracaibo, Venezuela, and I am who I am, is because my father went from Italy over there. And the reason he went there was because he loved all the pirate stories that he listened when he was a kid.
Oh, my goodness.
About the Maracaibo Bay where they would hide out in the Caribbean. So there you go. So some people think, oh, they're just kid stories. Actually, they're not. They will determine who the kid will be at a certain point. Because
everything, you're 100% right. All of our experiences add up to be the whole. In the end, everybody thinks that it's just things happen to you. But when you look back on your life, you realize everything is a cause and effect building up to everything you have today, so
mm-hmm.
to speak. But and look at you, because your father went to Venezuela and then you went to school in Florida. You met, you know, your husband, and, you know, everything
mm-hmm.
leads to this, and then you have your children because of it.
And then they, you know, there are the stories that they have read or you know, somebody read them the story. It, you know, that's what they're gonna, that's where their dreams are born from. And that's how it is. It's just, there's no way around it. It could be a book. It could be an audiobook. It doesn't matter. The point is that it's a story that starts a dream on somebody's head when they're a kid. And that is what made me always read to my kids. I have also been, you know, I have many years of decades. I want to say I look very young, though.
You sound young, too.
But I have many decades of reading, and most of my dreams came from books, you know, like traveling
yes.
Europe came from a book series that I used to read when I was 12 years old, and my love for animals came about books that I would read, learning about animals and stuff. And, I mean, most of my dreams of what I have pursued and decided to, you know, I moved to Italy when my husband told me, because that was one of my dreams, to live in Europe and travel when I was 12 years old. And I grabbed my little baby and, you know, and just went off.
But you're right. Books do ignite the imagination and take us places where we only dream. And, yes, it does light a path where it makes possibilities
mm-hmm.
pop up before us and say, you know what, I want to do that too. I think my love of travel is born from books. Because we didn't travel, my parents were poor, and we never traveled. And I had a lust for learning about other cultures, and I got mine from reading books like *Shogun* and *Gone with the Wind*, and you know all the books that the source for the Middle East, Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And while I never got to go to many of these places,
you actually did in your mind.
I did. That's exactly right.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's the beauty of it. And I think that we're all blessed to have your books. And,
thank you.
And I'm really happy that, you know, that Captain No Beard, your first book is going great and winning still more. And that was from 2012. I can't wait to see how many other awards you're going to win, because I think you tapped in a very good niche that was very knitted in the kids' system, you know, and the kids' book and the children's books. Again, your website is www.carolproman.com, and I really encourage everybody to visit your website and check out the other books. The last question, because we're running out of time, I really would like for you, a prolific writer that has managed to build a three-generation writer business here, a family, what would you tell all those writers of all ages that are amateur and they're trying to write their first piece?
First of all, I never think of anyone as an amateur, even because you know what you could read something, and even though that person what makes a person a star? I mean, when we think about they had a like a malt shop or something in Hollywood, and the girls used to be behind the counter. I can't think of Schwab's. It was Schwab's. And they would get picked by directors and become the Marilyn Monroes of their day. That was like the story. You know, how many people didn't get picked because of lack of exposure? Today, you can take a chance by self-publishing. We have, between the internet and all the different things at our fingertips, you don't have to send in. We've eliminated these people who pick and judge what everybody else is going to like. I've read so many independent books recently. I'm writing on Amazon.com, and they've been sending them to me, so I am critiquing them. And there are jewels out there that people will snub their nose because they say, oh, it's independently published, it can't be good. What makes anyone think that just because they couldn't get a publisher, that one lucky break, that they're not good? What would have happened if Spielberg never got his break? Would that make him any less of an artist? So the way I feel is, if you feel that you have something that you would like to take a chance on by expressing it, go ahead and express it. Invest whatever you can afford. It's, you know, you can save up your money or work a job and save your money, and invest in independent publishing, and then go for it, or do it on a blog and get it out there. You never know what your words, how they will affect somebody, and change their lives. I want to add, if I may, that my son, we talked about him being a writer. He's Michael Philip Cash, author of, he's got a paranormal romance. I just want to say who he is because you've mentioned that we have three generations here, so I felt I should mention his name. But, you know, if you think you have something to say, don't be intimidated. This is your decade. This is our century, whatever you want to call it. I'm independently published, and I'm proud of it. I'm proud that I followed my dream, and it's really doing what it was supposed to do. And I think that if somebody has, they think they have talent or they think they have something important to say, then just say it and find a way for it to be heard.
I so much agree with you. I'm also self-published, and I actually have my own publishing company now as well. And,
well, that's great.
Yeah, and
that's,
you know what? It is all because of the technology. And if we don't use the technology to put these stories out, the stories that will affect other people and that at the same time will allow us as, you know, human beings to evolve, because even the history books don't tell the story. It is the personal experiences that tell the story.
110%. One of the most important books I read in my youth was Studs Terkel's. I can't, the name is escaping me, but it was about the Depression. Mm-hmm. And it was, he interviewed people, and he just said, tell me your experience through the Depression. And it was one of the most brilliant books I ever read because it wasn't a dry history. You saw history through people's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It was one of those books that changed my life. And I said to myself, that's the way to record history, through the people who lived it, not through a professor. Not that I'm knocking professors. I think they're great, and we need them to tell us what we should be concentrating on or to point a path. But that's what real history is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the viewpoint of the people and understanding that it's real and how it affected them.
I agree. Oh, I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much for being with us, Carol. Again, your website is www.carolproman.com. I encourage everybody to check out your full series, but especially what we're talking about right now is... Pause.
Was that okay that I mentioned my son's name?
That was fine. I'm just losing because I have all your titles in here in front of me, and I'm like, okay.
What, you know what? You can ask me, and I'll run off all the books of the series. You know, Kenya, South Korea, if you want, because it's like a tongue full. You know,
I know.
It's a mouthful.
But anyway, let's go back. Okay. I encourage everybody to visit your website again and check out especially the book that we're talking about, which is If You Were Me and Lived in Kenya, because, you know, it's check it out and read it to your kids. I can guarantee they'll love it. I saw the reactions of our own kid reviewer, and so I really, really recommend it. Thank you so much for being with us, Carol. Can't wait to see the next book.
Thank you so much. India's coming soon, so watch for it. And I really appreciate it. This was terrific.
Thank you. And to you listeners, thank you again for being with us, and until next time.